We are now joined by the executive director of the Cattaraugus County IDA, Corey Wichter, to talk about that and about the IDA. Corey, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Joe, and it's always a pleasure to listen to your show and to be part of it as well, so I appreciate that opportunity.
Hey, I appreciate you. Before we get to the Braemiller, you know, there's a lot of people out there that hear IDA, you know, they hear it their entire life, but don't know exactly what a county IDA does. Can you explain that to the listeners?
Absolutely. You know, IDAs, industrial development agencies, were created by the New York State Legislature in the late 60s, which allowed governments, either counties, cities, towns, to sponsor an IDA that allows local economic development agencies, under their purview, various abatements on value added. So things like sales tax abatement on furnishing, fixtures, equipment related to a project, real property tax. When you hear the word pilot, people automatically assume, oh, by the way, that company for 7, 10, 12 years, what have you, pays no taxes. That's absolutely false, absolutely untrue. It's the IDA has the ability to incentivize that new investment. And all of that has requirements with local construction, retaining of employees, new employees, things of that nature. Another power that tool in our toolbox we have is mortgage recording tax. And you might say, what the heck is that? New York State, most counties have a mortgage recording tax based on a mortgage on a property. Cattaraugus counties is 1.25%. So we have the ability to abate that. All of those incentives truly allow that business, with the ever-challenging landscape and working and investing in New York State, that much more ability to make that project come to fruition. So it's all about a cost-benefit analysis, meaning what does it cost the general tax base in terms of the property taxes foregone to what is the return? What is the return back to, you know, the state, the community, the job base, the training institutes, distribution networks, things of that nature. So it's really a measure. I like to say it's throwing a pebble in a pond. And how many of those rings equate to value added to that given project? And I think often too much various media sources just love to pick on, a project and say, they want to note all the savings and they capitalize that in 1 year. What they don't tell you is that's typically over a span of minimally 7 to 12 years. And it's also, what is that bringing back to the region? Is it local construction, full-time employment, a new tax base? That's the other thing. IDAs were certainly stewards with impacted taxing jurisdictions, real property tax monies. But at the end of the day, our mission really is job retention, job creation, real property tax base preservation, and real property tax base growth. Because without that real property tax base, that's really those dollars that are keeping your streets plowed, the roads paved, and the lights on in the street. So at the end of the day, it takes massive investment to help allow and level out that playing field to make New York State a continued the best state in the nation.
Now, with that in mind, with that background at the IDA, you're looking at this Braemiller situation in the city of Buffalo. We've heard, we've heard from members on the Common Council. We know the first vote was unanimous, 9-0. The mayor is pushing for this. In your eyes, Braemiller downtown, how important is that to the city of Buffalo?
In my eyes, it's an absolute necessary need to focus on this sole opportunity of the $562,000, all of which has been kind of left over from the ARPA funding that the city received in May of 21, which was roughly $331 million. Various programs and institutions and new divisions have benefited from that, and I applaud the city and the Common Council for really looking the best way to utilize the ARPA funding, the American Rescue Plan. The issue with that I see is working in Cattaraugus County, you might ask again, how does that represent to or relate to the city of Buffalo? I've been in economic development for 17 years. Western New York is my hometown. You know, working in Cattaraugus County, still owning a home in the city of Buffalo, this is no other place I'd want to be. So this topic has really caught my attention, and working in economic development is literally just a heart and soul and passion. And what I see in rural areas, in some regards, is not different than a city. You have access to transportation, healthcare, you know, medical services, food, things of that nature. So this obviously caught my attention in many regards, and I've looked at this a few different times in a few different ways. And I just see this is helping out a small business that opened in September of 2021, which unfortunately they were ineligible for any of the PPP money, any state programs, city programs. And this was just, as you know, Simonelli Development put together a massive, you know, multi-million dollar facility or project, excuse me, that was just a surface parking lot that brought over 200 affordable homes, housing to the city, as well as this fantastic local market with products, as I was explaining earlier, that had products right from Niagara County, Cattaraugus County, Erie County, Chautauqua County. Local goods and products that are sold right there. The continued, you know, a new tax base, a new sense of feeling in the community. I mean, is reported through this awful blizzard that the city of very sadly lost so many lives. You know, they were able to stay open. They were able to serve their community. And I think when you start to look at projects in the infill, whether it's housing and the redevelopment of the multi-use building in this city of Buffalo, this is one that to me is right near the top. Everyone talks about wanting housing and density in the city of Buffalo, but without various retail services, it's just not going to work. So every business is faces challenges every day. I just think, unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic through this business and their model, Warp Speed, unfortunately, a lot beyond their control. And potentially, I see it as this business will allow Braemiller to, you know, pivot a bit with whether it's what they carry, what their market is serving in terms of the goods and services and the products, and allowing those customers to maybe, again, pivot to, something want to buy versus what's on their shelf. And I think any business is obviously open to their customers. And that's just been within really a short time that I think Mr. Green will have his team already considering that and utilizing these dollars, to refocus or to rebrand. And I say that respectfully because I certainly do not want to speak directly for Mr. Green's business. But at the end of the day, I think these are very necessary dollars to a very needy project. And believe me, there's countless needing businesses in the city of Buffalo. And these are all stalwart family businesses, often run for generations. So I certainly can appreciate and understand, a councilman saying, well, if we do one for you, what about this business? But I just think that this is a microcosm, is a much larger impact to the piece of the puzzle and the key, or to the overall puzzle and the redevelopment opportunity of tomorrow's city of Buffalo.
Looking at, talking to members of the Common Council, they say they want to hear a business plan that's going to turn things around. Do you think that's what's necessary, a change business plan, or do you think it's people still coming back to work, right? More and more businesses moving off of that hybrid model and more people moving downtown. Which one, with this money, where do you think Braemiller is going to get more, bring in more money, is how I should word that. Is it from a replanned business model or more and more people coming downtown?
Hey, great question, Joe. And I think I would certainly support the city's council for Braemiller to be eligible for said funds, specifically by HUD and CDBG. Several requirements by the city of Buffalo, in terms of a business plan. And you hit on that point. I think that is a key instrument and document that if presented in that the new spirit of Braemiller, I think is something that the city would need to look at, and I think hopefully support, because again, any business should have the ability to you know, change as fast as they can, and change equates to money. And you might say, well, gee, no kidding. Shouldn't every business have that opportunity at $562,000? But again, I think this project as a whole is such a valuable asset and commodity to the city. So I'm all for, you know, making sure that the as many boxes are checked off that would demonstrate the need and use. And what is the return back? What, again, is the cost benefit that is going to show $562,000, what is the return? And I think if that return is in the summation of a very pointed and clear business plan, you know, everything addressing from, you know, local source products to diversity of employment, whether it's to cooking classes, whether it's, you know, helping an area school bring in students, some sort of you know, metric to define the best use for that money. But I think the best use of that money does sit potentially surrounding that Braemiller project.
You know, another thing that I've pointed to a lot is the location of Braemiller now not being on Main Street. You know, we hear so much about bringing cars back to Main Street. Obviously, people take the train on Main Street going into work. Do you think that Braemiller was put in the wrong location downtown where it doesn't get the majority of traffic?
You know, it's a very good question, and I know not to be cliche driven, but the word location, location, location is usually the basis for a successful business or an unsuccessful business. I think there was a myriad of reasons and topics pointed by the developer on that location, and obviously some help from the city with the location. But I do think there is enough traffic, and as you touched on earlier, kind of that new hybrid work model where, you know, several employers, are offering, you know, a model of 2 to 3 days, you know, at home. And that would limit some of the automobile traffic in and around that area. There's no question about that. But I think the location, to me, is it's an awesome looking project. If you walk in there, the cleanliness and the brightness and opening, a parking lot. A lot of things in the city, you know, parking is a jewel if you can have it as a retailer. So there's always, you know, questions and head scratching on locations after the fact, but I still think in my heart of hearts, the city of Buffalo, in my opinion, really doesn't have any bad areas. It's best areas for that given business. And I think, given what, you know, any of the circumstances may be, I think the location is something that is very fluid. You know, it's whatever is changing in terms of the consumers to be there. Maybe it's some sort of delivery service. Maybe it's some sort of, you know, where they have the pickup, you know, type option. I just think the location there, I think, is very workable for this project.
You know, Corey, being with an IDA, and you talk about, you know, the businesses that will help the community, what is one of the, I want to word this nicely, but what's one of the bigger failures that you were really shocked after helping out didn't make it through, and lessons that could be learned from that?
With respect to a business not going forward, or...
Well, a business maybe making the wrong decision, just a business that, you know, would have been good for the community, but maybe the business model just, or the owners of the business just didn't, I don't know, made a mistake. What was that mistake they made and didn't keep going?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I think you always look at, you know, cost and what is the true cost of running that business in the landscape of your market. I mean, everything from an adaptive reuse project to a retail project, you know, to massive competitiveness and pricing, where consumers really shop for pricing. So I think at the end of the day, a lot of businesses may not be a victim of a direct miscalculation or a misfortune. I think sometimes that playing field is often very, very tricky, set by massive powers that be. And again, I would equate a little of this to like the Walmart model or Amazon, where they have just taken so much from that local business and economy. But at the end of the day, as a steward, to the private sector, you have to look at all those as not always good and bad. And I think businesses always go into it with, of course, that heart first. That's why I applaud the private sector and the entrepreneurial spirit, because I think there's nothing like it. It takes a massive heart and mindset that I'm going to make it in today's economy. So I think, again, when it comes to scenarios like this, where you had a global pandemic, the first one in a century, opening up in September of 21, challenges with the workforce. But I think things are cyclical, and that's why I have confidence in the understanding of those dollars placed into an updated, revised business plan that may allow that business that's been operational for a few years now to reassess or reengage and remarket, rebrand. And I think all of that takes a strong commitment from not only the landowner, the business owner, but as well as the city of Buffalo. And I certainly applaud the mayor for championing and supporting this project, because again, I think if you look at the city of Buffalo from the 30,000 foot level, a grocery store and access to health, fresh, local fruits and vegetables, meats, seafood, all of that, to have it in the city, I think is an absolute feather in the cap. And again, I ask the question, if Bray Miller was to go dark, then what? What does it take to get the next grocer in? And we all know the challenges of grocery stores. Look, Tops Market, I used to work at a Tops in Boston, New York. Very small, and see one in Ellicottville, right across the street from our office. But we see really the fortitude and the ups and downs that Tops Market continues to face, but has been an awesome local company, job provider, and access to food in areas and communities that otherwise would not be there. So I think you have to look at food service type entities such as Bray Miller and how they equate to local goods and services, local agriculture, local meats, and having that center. Yeah, it may need a little buff up here and a touch of paint there, but I think that car is good to go. And I think it's in a city that will embrace that investment. And I think that's been significant to date. And I think it's worthy of this type of program, where unfortunately they were not eligible for a lot of different programs that business directly impacted by COVID. And let's face it, retail was drastically impacted.
Oh, for sure. Hey, Corey, thank you so much for joining us. I think we'll have to be going back to you again soon when this vote happens.
I very much appreciate your time, Joe, and wish you well. You got a great show, and always applaud WBEN for their coverage and news endeavors in Western New York, and for giving a lot of voices to be heard. So thank you very much on behalf of myself and our IDA.